Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Hosanna in the highest. We honor and glorify and praise your name tonight. We thank you, Lord, for these who have led us tonight as we come into your presence singing, Hallelujah, Jesus is risen. We thank you, Lord, for the life that you've given us in Christ. We thank you for the fellowship we have with one another. We pray, Lord, for those who are not able to be with us but join us tonight electronically. We pray that you'd bless every one of them, those who are sick and discouraged and beaten down, and, Lord, those who've had a hard day with news and other troubles. We pray that you would lift them up tonight by the help of your Holy Spirit. You are the God who comes to the discouraged. You are the God who meets the depressed. And you raise us up out of that and give us victory. And tonight we praise the Lord for your great grace and mercy to us. Lord, we ask that you might help us tonight as we study your word, that we might truly understand what it is that you have to say to us tonight. Lord, we know that there are some things that we need in order to be your people and to be pleasing to you and to be effective in our work that you've called us to do in this world. So now we pray, we pause now to pray for the one person you might have put on our minds tonight as we've gathered in this place. We pause and pray for that one person tonight. We pray also tonight for our homeland, the United States of America. We pray that the will of God would be done in this place and your purposes would be accomplished regardless of man and his raging and his behavior. We ask that Jesus might be glorified and that your purposes will be accomplished so that Jesus might come. And we pray, come Lord Jesus. We thank you now, Lord, for this opportunity we have in your word, and we pray that you might allow us to have focused minds and attention as we study your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good evening. Good to see all of you. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to take you back to a place that seems like we've been in this place for so long, so long. I grew a beard and cut it off. We've been in this place so long, but we're here for a reason. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and this is all for all of us, and as your pastor, I really believe this is very important. Those of you who are joining us and aren't able to be with us tonight in person, God bless you. I've spoken with a number of you, and you always tell me that you're watching, and we love you, and we miss you, and we pray for the day that you'll be back with us, and for now, we're glad that you're with us. So as your pastor, there's some things that you and I need. If we're to faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ, glorify God, and honor Him and be fruitful in our lives. And here we are back in 2 Peter. Peter is saying these words that are very important to us, and I'm going to begin reading again, and this will get our minds back around it. And then tonight we will talk about this. The thing we need, godliness. The thing we need, godliness. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life, and please notice the next word, and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, in other words, so therefore, as a result of all of that unbelievable amount of truth and blessing from God, now, for this reason, right now, church, all of us, right now, for this reason also, apply all diligence. Be a diligent Christian, Peter says. And I say to you, diligence is a call for things that are necessary. Do these necessary things. Be diligent in these things. Number one, in your faith. We talked about it again last week. In your faith, notice, then supply to your faith moral excellence. You need moral excellence if you're going to live in this world and accomplish God's purposes in your life. In your moral excellence, add knowledge. Knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of His ways, knowledge of your sin. And in your knowledge, self-control. Add to your knowledge self-control. Control yourself. Control your mouth. That would be a good thing for us to remember at the church house. Control your mouth. Watch what you do and where you go and what you think. Self-control. And in your self-control, add endurance. There's where we are tonight. You need endurance. You got to stay with it. You got to put up with what we're going through. Put up with what you're going through. Perseverance, and then we come to it. And in our endurance, here's what we need: supply godliness. And then he goes on, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Please notice why we need these things. Verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he who lacks these qualities is short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. What a great promise. That's why we need these things, so that we will not stumble, so that we will not be useless for the work of God in our world. He's got us here for a purpose. And so that we will be fruitful in our ministry life. That's why these Christian qualities, these qualities of a believer, are so essential. These are the things we need: faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness. Godliness to brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, to love. So tonight we think about and consider godliness. We saw these verses already, and we've seen this word already. Verse 3, by His divine power, God has granted to us, believers, He's granted to us everything for godliness. Oh, the world in which we live. The need for the godly to practice godliness in this world. All men desire happiness for their end, but few have holiness for their way of life. All men desire the kingdom of heaven and the glory thereof, but few seek the kingdom of heaven and the righteousness thereof. This is certain tonight. Dear friends, no man shall go to God in death unless he draws near to God in life. If the kingdom of God is not first in us, we shall never enter into the kingdom of God. None shall enter into heaven hereafter but those who walk in heaven on the earth. That means you're saved and you have a living relationship with God. What is it that we need today? Oh, how we need to practice godliness. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us. What does the grace of God, the favor of God, the grace of God for my sin, greater than my sin, what does the grace of God teach me? To deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in these present days. What do we do, oh Pastor Mike? Here are my hands. Oh, what do we do? What do we do? The wringing hands of the Christian. Live a godly life. Be salt and light in the world. Seek first the kingdom of God in the days of virus and trouble and hatred and division. That's what we need. Sadly, the godly, there is a scarcity of godly living in our world. What did the psalmist say? I should read it to you. Psalm 12:1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be. Psalm 12:1, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another with flattering lips, and with double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? You see, the godly are a scarcity in this world. So you will find yourself in one of two places tonight. Peter reminds us that the saved can lose the quality of godliness. It can diminish in your life. And sadly, you go back to ungodliness. You can go to any of these qualities, losing moral excellence, moving back from your faith into unbelief, lacking knowledge, without self-control, without endurance. What do we need? We need these things so that we're useful and fruitful to God in this world. You can't go back to the one you used to have. We're in this world now. We're in this time. We're in this season, and we need the godly man and woman to rise up and to live godly in this present hour. So the focal truth tonight is clear. Every believer needs to practice godliness. Godliness has two elements to it. First, godliness has in it the idea of our devotion to God. Listen, pure, complete, single devotion to God. That's godliness. The second aspect of godliness is godlike or Christ-like character in our life and our behavior toward our neighbor. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. That's what the old song says. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be. So you come tonight and you find yourself having to ask this question. Am I practicing, or as we'll see tonight, exercising myself spiritually for the purpose of godliness? You see, you've got to put some effort into this matter of living in godliness. And there is so much that can be said on this subject. I'm spending one 30-minute slot of time to talk about an enormously important subject throughout the Word of God. And so may the Lord help us to understand this tonight, and I hope to challenge you with this. You need to consider, am I practicing godliness in my life tonight? That's what all of us must ask tonight. Not about your neighbor. Don't make your list and say, boy, my wife should have heard this tonight. Your wife, it doesn't matter what your wife, what are you going to do about it? Boy, I got some people around here. Boy, they should have been over here to hear Pastor Mike get all worked up tonight. They shouldn't be down there now. What are you worrying about everybody else? I'm asking you to take the mirror of God's word and look at your own life tonight and say, am I practicing godliness, or have I gone to sleep? Drifted away, caught in the currents of the world. This is the sadness of our day. This is the sad condition of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have three things to say to you tonight on this very important subject of godliness. Number one, God's power has given believers the ability to live in godliness in this world. Godliness matters not just for you personally, as we saw in Peter's words, so that you won't stumble, so that you can draw near to God and gain the glorious blessing of being close with the Lord. As I said earlier, having a bit of heaven on the earth. But also it gives us usefulness and fruitfulness. The Lord said that if we abide in Him, we will bear much fruit and glorify God. Is there spiritual fruitfulness in your life? Is there evidence that you have shared the gospel with others and you have seen fruitfulness in your life? You have committed yourself to follow Jesus, and because of your example of following Jesus, there is fruitfulness in your life. You have planted the seeds of the truth of God's word and the gospel, and you have watered them, and you have, some of you, harvested. You've experienced a fruitful life of ministry. That's not just for preachers. That's for all of God's people. You need godliness, and you must practice godly devotion, growing godly devotion to God and growing Christ-likeness toward others, toward your neighbor. Verse 3, seeing His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to godliness. How? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. You see, as the object of your focus, you become like what you focus on. You become like what you think about. You know, talking with sometimes to our people, they're focusing so much on the troubles of the world, they've become filled with worry talk, filled with fear talk. I'm not criticizing you, my brothers and sisters, if you're full of fear and worry, but you're looking at the wrong things. When you look at our great God and His faithfulness and His compassion and His love and His patience and His grace, how can you have fear talk? How can you have worry talk? How can you have hate talk toward anyone? You see, the godly man or woman has the ability to live godliness in this world. Oh, we're reminded that those who live godly will suffer persecution. What's new with that? I was listening today. Some pastor was all worked up and worried. He was so upset because people in the world were saying bad things about Christians. I want to say, where have you been? I mean, you think that's a news flash? Let me tell you, you go to your job and you talk about Jesus and you open the Word of God and pray at lunch, just see what might happen to you. And bless God when you're persecuted as a Christian. Those who live godly will suffer persecution. But oh Lord, help us, how the godly man ceases to be. We've just compromised ourselves. We're so squeezed into the mold of the world. There's no distinction between us. We carry the world in here to the church, and we look just like and act just like and talk just like the world, with a little Jesus sprinkled in on top. You see, godliness is a supernatural act that changes the heart and causes me to now trust God and obey Him. That's what it means in verse 3. When divine power gives me everything I need for godliness, how do I become a godly man or woman? I first, by faith, trust in Jesus Christ. I continue to walk by faith, and I obey God regardless of what comes in my life. Godliness is a supernatural act. It begins as a supernatural act in salvation. It is a life-changing experience affecting your mind and your will and your emotions and then what you do. You see, godliness begins on the inside and works its way out in my life. It affects my mind. I'm not corrupted by all of those lusts that have destroyed me. Did you catch it here? 2 Peter 1:4, for by these he has granted to us precious, magnificent promises, so that by them you might become partakers, look at this, of the divine nature. You have a new nature now as a believer. And notice, you escape, here it is, you escape the corruption that is in the world by lust. That's a description of ungodliness. Corrupting lusts. Godliness is a supernatural act of God, a life-changing experience affecting the mind and will and emotions. I don't want to be feeding my lusts anymore. I don't want to be going down the path of fleshly satisfaction that ends up being no satisfaction. The godly man or woman says, I am going to trust the promises of God, walk by faith, live with moral excellence in my life. I'm going to grow in my knowledge of God and His Word. I'm going to live with self-control by the help of the Holy Spirit, enduring the pains and troubles that come in this world, and I'm going to live a devoted life to God, regardless of what He may send into my life. What would it take to get you to stop serving, worshiping, glorifying, and following Jesus? Well, some of us are being tested in this very day. You don't pray like you used to pray. I've stood here and told you. Our Christian research people that do these kinds of things, why Bible reading is at an all-time low in America. That includes Christians. I can't read as much Bible tonight, Pastor Mike. I got to get the latest news. They told you the same thing 25 times all day long. Hadn't changed. You can catch that news about once a week and you'll be all right. And this is the news I really need. Right here. This is the news I need. But where have we gone? What's it going to take to get you to quit? To give up, to become, as Peter says here, blind and short-sighted. You see, some of us are living as short-sighted Christians. We don't see the value of these things we need because all we're looking at is what's right around the corner. Oh, you see, godliness is a supernatural act, a life-changing experience. It is a glorious thing. It's evidenced by the new nature that you have. You have all that you... Listen, you have already in you what you need to be a godly man or woman. That's the good news of these verses. Godliness is a permanent thing. The Apostle John reminds us in 1 John 3:9 that once we're saved, his seed remains in us. That is, now the Holy Spirit of God is in us. We have a new nature. We now have, yes, we still fight and battle with the old nature. We have to kill sin every day. But we have this permanent blessing that by the power of God, as a result of salvation, we now have the ability to live in complete devotion to God and Christ-likeness to others. Godliness is an essential thing. Hebrews 12:14 says, without sanctification, no one will see the Lord. A rich man was asked, would he rather be a godly Christian or worldly pleasure seeker? The rich man answered, I'd rather live like the Christian, the godly Christian. No, excuse me. I'd rather live like the pleasure seeker and die like the godly Christian. So most men would love to die the death of the righteous, but they don't live the life of the righteous. They wish to have the worldling's ease, but the godly man's end doesn't work that way. So at the day in which you and I are laid in the ground, will there be any understanding of those who stand there and say the words over you or me that this person has sought to live a life to honor God, glorify God, and be like Jesus? You see, godliness is an evident thing. Galatians 5:22, you know these verses. I know who's here tonight. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. The fruit of the Spirit. You go to the apple tree, you say, look, there's a pear. No, you look at the apple tree and say, look, there's an apple. You go to the peach tree and you say, why, look, there's a pear. No, there's the peach. Fruit is evident. And in all of our lives tonight, we are exhibiting some kind of fruit. Something's coming out of you. What is it that comes out of you? Godliness is a life of devotion to God. In your perseverance, add godliness, verse 6. You see, godliness with faith leads to a strong devotion to God. Godliness with endurance leads to a lasting devotion to God. You know, I'm appreciative of this, and I mean this sincerely. I am appreciative of our veterans, and I thank God for our veterans in this country. And it's always heartwarming to see. Even on their cars, even on many of their vehicles, many of them wear hats describing their service and their devotion to this country and also to their branch of the military. Devotion! There's nothing more heartwarming than to see men and women who've been married for multiple years and the devotion of a man to a woman or woman to a man for all of those years. Here we've got among us one of our own dear couples married 50 years and now the wife is left and her husband will be buried in a few days in the ground. Devotion, commitment and devotion. Godliness with faith leads to strong devotion to God, lasting devotion to God. You see, I come as I look at these verses for what comes before godliness in this list and what comes after. Enduring godliness and kindness and godliness. This is what we see here. When you think about godliness, you think of three qualities of godliness and devotion to God. I've got them here for you in the notes. Love for God, fear for God, and desire for God. So if you want to pause for a moment and ask yourself, am I devoted to God? What did the Lord Jesus say? Follow me. If any man wishes to come after me, any woman, let them... This is the hard one now. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You cannot be my disciple unless you do those things. So now let's talk about our devotion to God. We're devoted to our spouse, and we should be. We're devoted to our children. We're devoted to those things which we have committed our lives to and served, but what about your devotion to God? Godliness is first an act of constant, enduring devotion to God. What did Job say when he was put through and God was grinding his face into the dirt? Though he slay me, yet I will serve him. That's devotion. You got that kind of devotion in your life? Lord, I'll serve you if I could just have everything be good in my life. Would you? Godliness is love for God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. How much of your heart, mind, and strength does God get? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and your strength. Mark 12:30, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. John the Apostle, our brother, 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. We love God because he first loved us. Is there love for God in your life? Are you devoted to loving God? Because he has loved you, do you respond with love? This is fellowship with the Lord. This is that first place of special relationship to God, that I can love God. Are you devoted to God? Do you love God? If I'm devoted and I love Pat, my wife, I'm not going to be unfaithful to my wife. If you're going to be devoted, you're singularly devoted, committed in love to God. Is that true for you tonight? Or have you become short-sighted, my brothers and sisters, and forgotten your purification from your former sins? Let's come to fear of God. Oh, I was been corrected in this church, even when I came in the early days. A man came to me, oh, you Christians don't fear God. Perfect love casts out fear. I said, yes, brother, that's true, but we fear God. You see, in my devotion to God in godliness, I live in the fear of God. It's a wonderful verse, Acts 9:31. It's one of those verses. We spent a long time in the book of Acts too, yonder years ago, somewhere in the mist of past time, somewhere along the way. You were a lot younger and so was I, but we were there. And the book of Acts has these pauses to describe the growth of the church. Acts 9:31, so the church enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord. By the way, that man told me, well, there's no fear of the Lord for the church, but it's right here in the Word of God. And going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the beauty. The godly man fears God, but has the comfort of God and the love of God all moving at the same time. These are called sweet, holy emotions. Do you have them? Do you fear God? You see, the fear of God is at the heart of godliness. Godly fear is honoring, reverencing, and adoring God above anybody else or anything else. Are you afraid of something in this world more than you're afraid of God? Godly fear is a sense of awe for the glorious greatness of God. How can we on Sunday mornings come and talk about the faithfulness of God and talk about the greatness of His compassion and His grace and His slowness of anger without the fear of God being raised in our hearts and minds? And what about your desire for God, that I may know Him? Philippians 3:10. I don't often do this, but I've given you the quotation from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is a good Bible tool. It's not a translation. It's a good help to you as you're trying to gain insight and understanding into the Word of God, but I love the way it's laid out here. I'll read it for you. This is my determined purpose, that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonder of His person more strongly and more clearly. Now, that's a lot of words, but that's some good stuff. Do you desire God? Like a deer pants after water, so my soul pants for the living God. God's power has given believers the ability to live in godliness in this world. Godliness is a life devotion. It is life devotion to God in this world and in the world to come. We leave here as devoted to God as we were here. And finally, godliness is a life of growing in godlike or Christlike character. Now, Peter ends the book talking about the coming of the Lord in 2 Peter chapter 3. And we've talked about this before as I've preached at various times recently. And so we're reminded here in 2 Peter 3, these words are very important, but let not this one fact escape you. Verse 8, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But don't count God's slowness, his patience, as not being clear on what he will do. The day of the Lord will come, like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, with the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. Sometimes we talk about praying for America because we just want it to be all right. Kind of like, you know, a mom trying to tell her two kids, okay, quit fighting, just be good. Let's just get along. We pray, Lord, just let us get along. We don't pray as the Lord taught us, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the way the godly pray. We don't pray that just let's all get along. We pray, your will be done on the earth. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, verse 11, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? Because all of these things are coming, what kind of people ought we to be? What kind of people do we need to be? We need to be those fully devoted to God first, before anyone else. Why, there are people who are devoted to their church, but they're not so devoted to God. Godliness is this matter of growing in Christ-likeness. Godly devotion leads to godly living. You see, the second commandment is like the first. The Lord said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Did you hear me? Godly devotion leads to godly living. When I'm devoted to God, you know what the Lord does? He teaches me how I'm supposed to treat other people. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. That would solve a lot of problems in the church, at your job, and in your family. How do I treat these people? Like you want to be treated. That's how you treat them. You treat them like you want to be treated. Boy, we have a lot of people talking about what they want to be treated like. But they don't want to treat others the way they want to be treated. You see, godly living leads to glorifying God in all that is done. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do. Notice Paul picks out these mundane matters. I mean, there's nothing really exciting about eating and drinking. Tonight, I had SpaghettiOs tonight with some bread. There you go. Glorify God eating your SpaghettiOs, Mike. By the way, there is fruit. There's vegetables in your SpaghettiOs. You can check the can. I just wanted you to know I was trying to eat healthy. Whatever you're eating and drinking, mundane. What kind of eating and drinking? Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Godly living is a personal duty. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What do you got to do these days? Pastor Mike, is just a lot of change. Yes, work out your own salvation in all this change with fear and trembling. Work it out. That's what you do. You work it out. What do I do about my old knee? Well, you work it out. You don't sit down and let it get stiff. You work it out. Go to Mr. Vaughn, doctor of pain. He'll help you with that. You got to work it out. You got to work on it. Work out your salvation. Learn how to trust God in the difficulties of life. You know, I was mentioning to someone today, you know, the Lord doesn't send you a calendar invitation that in 12 weeks you're going to have a big sad event come in your life and you can check it off and put it on your phone. You don't get an invite to a season of change in your life. It just comes. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you to will and to do of His own good pleasure. This is the way the godly live. Oh, should I bring it up? 1 Timothy 4:7, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. It takes work. You have to take care of the discipline of prayer in your life, the discipline of worshiping and praising God, the discipline of thinking deeply and meditating on the Word of God. I've said it to you many times, worry is a form of meditation. You already know how to do it, just change the subject, you can do it. That's what you do. Worry is going over and over and over the same thing. Now, take that worry away and put something of the truth of God in there and just keep going over and over. It will change your life. You will experience a little heaven on earth. Godly living is a personal duty. I still think John Wesley had it right when he said, you're as spiritual as you want to be. You're as spiritual as you want to be. And godly living puts off the old way of life for the new way of life. And how better can we say it than the way Paul said it here? Ephesians 4:22-24, in reference to the former manner of life. You know what? Everybody in this room who's saved had a former manner of life. And you know, it'd be sad. We could go through and talk a lot about, all of us could share the sad things about our former way of life. Paul had a former way of life. He called himself the chief of sinners. He never got over the fact that he stood there while saintly, godly Stephen was stoned to death, and he never got over the fact that he gave his consent not only to his death, but death of other believers, and was dragging Christians out of their homes, disrupting and destroying their lives. His former way of life, and all of us have one before we got saved. In reference to the former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. I don't live like the former way I used to be, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. You deceive yourself, see? Well, I wasn't so bad. No, you were filled with sin and ungodliness and wickedness and self-centeredness and pride. And that you be renewed. Lay aside that old way and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Change your mind, church, about what you think about. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. God's power has given believers the ability to live in godliness in this world. Godliness is a life of devotion to God in this world. Godliness is a life of growing in godlike character in this world. Proverbs 4:18 says, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. May God help our light to shine as His godly ones, brighter and brighter until the full day and Jesus comes again. Amen. Amen. I love you in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful truths of your word. Now tonight, as we come to the end of this time, may we give self-examination to ourselves. Lord, may I look into my heart, even as I stand speaking the words to the church tonight, may I look at my heart. Am I short-sighted and blind? Have I forgotten my purification from sin? And am I living in ungodliness, lack of devotion to you, and Christ-likeness? Then I must confess my sin, repent of my sin, and ask you to give me everything I need so that I might live a godly life. And I pray it for my brothers and sisters who are here tonight, young and old alike. May the young be godly young men and women who are with us. May the old be godly old men and women. And may we be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ so that our light will shine and we might be salt in the earth. To the glory of God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and good to see you. Please say hello to someone on your way out, and we'll see you Sunday. God bless you all that joined us electronically. Have a good evening. God bless you.